Welcome to Adventures of a Blonde Geisha. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another fabulous edition of Adventures of a Blonde Geisha. My name is Lisa Wilkerson, and I'm the host of this podcast. And today, I'm so very excited. My second interview, my second guest on this podcast, and I have the incomparable St. Paul Peterson in the house. Hello, Paulson. How are you?
I'm doing great. I love your energy already. We're going to have some fun today.
I know. I'm so excited. So I want to start with, first of all, obviously saying thank you so much for being on my podcast. Everyone who knows even like a little slice about me and who I am knows that I absolutely love the family, Prince, Minneapolis Sound, like everything and anything having to do with that. So it is really, truly an honor for you to, you know, be able to spend a little time with us here.
The pleasure is mine.
Thank you. So,
absolutely.
I would like to get you first to give me a little bit of your background, your history, how you got started. I know that you were discovered at the tender age of 17. Leading up to that, what was that like? When did you first discover music, and what was music to you at that time in your life?
Well, I really didn't have much of a choice. I knew that I was going to be a musician from the time I came out of the womb. I'm the youngest of six kids.
Wow.
And my mother and father were incredible musicians here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Mm. So all my brothers and sisters play professionally and still do to this day. And I really, I'm telling you, I came up in a household full of jazz, funk, rock. Straight ahead bebop, old time jazz, basically a jazz family that stemmed out to many different genres. Mm. And so what did that look like? That looked like me playing drums at age four and doing my first professional gig with my mom at age 15. Oh, it was full on from the time I was here. I thought everybody, you know, every kid in the neighborhood played music and they had the same experience that I had growing up. Instead of saying, hey, you want to go play catch? I'd be like, hey, you want to jam?
That's amazing.
So really, it was an incredible, incredible home life for me. Except for we lost my dad very early on. I was only four, but my mom raised us all, and my sister Patty, who's 10 years older than me, would take care of me while my mom went out and gigged. That's how she made her living.
Wow. That's
my mom. That is.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Because you also get kind of that taste of how it is making a living as a musician, because you're getting to watch your mom out there pursuing things and just, you know,
she worked. I'll tell you what, she'd like, you know, we would, we tease her. We'd be like, mom, can you come over and watch the kids? And she'd say, and she was in her 80s at this point. She'd say, no, I can't watch the kids. I got three gigs today.
I love that.
So she taught us about work ethic and hustle and all of that.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And what would you say would be your influences musically? I mean, obviously your family and what was there, which is pretty amazing because it covers all genres of music basically, but who were some of the people that you were bumping when you were a high schooler? What were you listening to?
Oh, yeah.
What was on the boombox, as they say?
I'll tell you what was on the boombox. It was Stevie. I was a Stevie Wonder freak. And, you know, that's the way I'd sit down, play and sing Stevie Wonder songs to get girls. It still works. I still get to woo my wife with Stevie Wonder songs.
That's great. That's amazing.
Yeah, I would say also Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I got to tell you a little side story. Literally 2 days ago, I have friends in Earth, Wind, and Fire. They were all coming into town, and the whole band, except for the principals, we were all going to take over a little tiny bar unannounced. And unfortunately, one of the crew got COVID. So instead, I interviewed the drummer, John Paris, And the two guitar players, Serge and Morris, for my podcast called Music on the Run.
Yeah. And
right after we did a Live Funk Friday, which is a 1 minute piece of music that I've been doing weekly since the start of the pandemic. So we're on 115 straight weeks. And it was, and then I saw the concert the next night. So talk about an incredibly beautiful 48 hours in my life. I got to go hang out with, you know, people who in the band that I have idolized forever, see my heroes and cheer on my friends and make music with them and talk with them like you and I are doing. So Stevie, Earth, Wind & Fire, Miles, Tony Williams, George Benson, all these kind of people. Oh, I loved all anything Quincy Jones, Michael, Prince, so many different people.
Wow. And I know that you've also played with people like George Benson. And so you've, it's pretty amazing that some of these people who are such big influences in your life, you've also played professionally with, and that must be an incredible feeling. And then also, of course, working with Prince as well, but it's almost like
crazy to be able to play with, because of Prince and Paisley Park. I was in the building. My brother Ricky and a gentleman by the name of Tommy LaPuma were producing George Benson. In the rhythm section was myself, Michael Bland, Ricky Peterson, and I'm trying to think who else might have been on that. I'm having a senior moment here. It happens a lot more frequently these days.
I feel you on that.
But it was incredible to be able to work with George Benson. He ended up recording a song I wrote for my brother Billy called Song for My Brother, and which did very well for him, believe it or not, on the dance charts. But that week of my life was kind of like the week that the 2 days I just had with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Musically inspiring, everything we did, he loved. The food was great. The hang was great. I've been so fortunate and so blessed throughout my career to be able to work with, like you said, my heroes. It's been unbelievable.
And would you say, so tell me a little bit about, I know that Prince discovered you when you were 17 years old.
Can
you tell me a little bit about that, like that backstory? Very intrigued.
Well, you'll love this. See if you can keep track of this, because it's a little bit of a genealogy, a study in my extended family. I played in a band called Patty Peterson and a Piece of the Action with my sister Patty.
Okay.
Her then boyfriend, Stuart Pastor, who was the drummer. He happens to be Bobby Z's first cousin, who was the drummer in The Revolution. So I'm 16 playing with him, still in high school. He finds out, you know, a year or so later that Jimmy and Terry got fired, I'm assuming from Bobby. He calls me when I'm on my vacation after graduating from high school. It says, Paul, get your butt down here. I got you an audition with the time. So I left my vacation early, came home. To make a very long story short, I had to learn all the songs the night before the audition to be able to play them, memorize them, sing them, attempt to look cool for this, you know, suburban white kid from Richfield. That was that's still a challenge. Thank you very much. But I went in and I had the audition in front of Jesse Johnson. I got a call back, and Prince was there the next day, and then the rest is history.
Wow. So just for my peace of mind, did Prince like somehow come on like a hovercraft, and he like came from the wings, out of the wings, and said, Paul, you're hired? Or like, was it some kind of crazy Prince moment that we can wish for?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. He never said, you're hired.
Oh,
he came up to me after I was done playing.
Yeah.
And if memory serves me correctly.
Yes.
The first thing he did was write down on a piece of paper the word wreck, WRECK, dash, the letter A, dash, the word stow, S-T-O-W.
Wreck-a-stow.
You know the whole where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. He pulled out the wreck-a-stow thing on me when I, you know, I'm 17 years old, freaking out, sitting there in front of Prince. And he said, where do you buy your records from? And I'm like, wreck-a-stow. He said, say it faster. Wreck-a-stow. And I finally, it finally hit me. So that's your Prince story. That's how I met him. That's so, how we broke the ice. And the next thing we did was go pick out swatches for a suit that he was going to have made for me for Purple Rain. And I picked out a beautiful black, double-breasted, pinstripe black suit. And he said, you'll never be noticed in that. And he made me wear an orange pinstripe suit.
Wow.
Pinstripe suit. And he was right. I got noticed in that one.
Yeah, yes.
Isn't that funny?
That is amazing. That's so funny. And I know that, you know, you've worked with, well, and then of course, being the lead singer of the family, which love. What was that like to be a part of that? And I mean, was that something that was just kind of, it just happened and you're like, wait, what a minute, what's going on kind of scenario? Or
it all happened all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Because Morris left right after Purple Rain.
Yes.
Prince gathered us in the old warehouse Paisley Park, gathered us in a circle. Those of us who were left, Jesse Johnson had left and taken a couple of members of the time with him. He said, I've got, you know, this is what's going on and I'm going to form a new band. And he pointed at me and said, you're going to be the lead singer. The next thing I knew, the dude had the whole record written and was sending cassette tapes to the house that I'm literally sitting in right now as we speak. My mom's house.
Wow.
So I bought mom's house when she passed, but I'm sitting in the exact same spot where I would get these little cassette deliveries.
Wow.
Have to learn these songs, you know, get all the inflections that he would put on there. He was giving me direction via these demos that I had to cop, right? Because he wanted me to sound a certain way, look a certain way.
Yeah.
He had a concept. I was an actor in his movies, basically, if you will.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. So he would show up very occasionally for the recording session, but he entrusted David Z, who is Bobby Z's brother. And going back to my old story, Stuart Pastor's cousin as well. Yeah. Right. So it's an all incestuous, wonderful, beautiful Pastor Peterson family here back in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
So he produced the family record. He really was instrumental in getting me to sound like Prince wanted me to sound. Mm-hmm. Boy, did I learn. I learned so many lessons about being able to sing in the studio, how you do that, how you, you know, what the attitude is, how to change your voice, how to follow direction, all sorts of stuff. It was the best college I could have ever have hoped to go to.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's like a master, you know, workshop, you know, how they have those right now. But that's like a whole different level. Like, that is just amazing.
Survival is what that was.
Yeah, I bet.
That was survival.
So I know that you also are currently touring with your band, St. Paul and the Minneapolis Funk All-Stars. You guys do a lot of work together for that.
And then, of course,
right. And then you have like your own solo album, which is going to be coming out next month on June 24th, called Break On Free. Is your influence still, because I know you talk a lot about the Minneapolis sound. So would you say that you've been extremely influenced by that earlier part of your career, as well as a lot of other things that have gone on in your life? Or?
Well, of course. I mean,
yeah.
How could I not be influenced by that? I was a very young man and a very moldable part of my life. And I was like a sponge.
Yeah.
Throughout my life, I've been like a sponge. So before Prince, I had my family who was, you know, feeding me Stevie and big band music and standards and Ellington and all the to Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and Tower of Power, and Earth, Wind and Fire, and you get Prince, and he's, you know, showing me, talking to me about James Brown and the Gap Band and whomever, right? So
yeah,
all this stuff, all this information is coming into me. But the tricky thing, I think, throughout this whole thing is to find my whole who I am and what my identity really was.
Yes.
And, you know, and it only has taken 40 years to figure that shit out. You know, it's like, you know, especially with this new record, I'm like, look here, you know, I'm late 50s and I know who I am. This is the music I make. Some of it's funky, some of it's rocky, some of it's got some bebop changes in it, some of it is straight R&B. Because that's who I am.
Yeah.
Nobody else sounds like that. It sounds like me, finally. Yeah. But I'm finally comfortable enough in my own musical skin to be able to have the, to be able to say it's okay for me to put out songs with many different influences in it, because that's just who I am. And I'm totally good with that. Finally.
That must be just so liberating to be able to do that, you know, to be able to say, hey, look, world, I am not, like, I'm complicated. I've got all kinds of genres going on and it's okay. And, you know, I love it. And this is like that whole being able to express yourself in so many different genres and then also, but, you know, be very comfortable in your skin, which I would imagine as younger musicians is probably a very hard thing to do. So that must be really liberating for you.
It is. And, you know, sometimes people, you know, when you're in your career and you've got managers and record labels going, you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to do this, you know, you listen to things like that, and that sometimes you can get lost.
Yeah.
Which I think I did for a period of time in my life, which is, that's too bad. You know, I don't think I wasted time.
Yeah.
But I think I was confused as to who I really was. And it's funny because now I can go play a gig with Brian White, you know, the country artist, Grammy winning country artist. And because I can go play with George Benson. I can go play with the people in Fleetwood Mac, man, and people in Hall & Oates, man. I'm name dropping. Forgive me. But I can do that because all it is music.
Yeah.
It's, absolutely. You know, the rest of what people want, labels want to put on it, that's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's music. And you play it to the, because it's music and you are bonding with the other musicians on there and you're authentic and in the moment.
Yeah.
If you have to take some course corrections along the way, so be it. But man, I'm done, you know, not thinking that I can't play all this different stuff, because I can.
Yeah.
And so can everybody else. Many, many other people can. And I'm not the only one here. I'm just saying that I am allowing myself to do that.
Yeah. So when you went into studio and started recording this new album that's coming out, Break On Free, what was the initial thoughts on the album? Did you have a direction you were going to go with? And did it just somehow organically become something else for you? Or did it go on track? Like, can you give me a little bit more into the new album that's coming out?
Yeah. So this record is really, I think, a really good showcase for where I'm at in my life. It has so many different ideas on it. And the concept was literally play what you want, write what you want. Actually, let me rephrase that. Play what you feel. Write what you feel, because that's the authentic thing. And that's what's going to translate to people is the authenticity of my performance, my delivery, my songwriting, my production, my all that kind of those things that go into making a record. I started up with a song I wrote probably 3.5 years ago with my nephew Jason called You Got to Love. The only concept and prerequisite that I had was that had to be positive, lyrically speaking.
Yeah.
Because the one thing that I will say is that music is the great equalizer. It's the great connector.
Yes, I agree.
I don't care what color you are. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care, you know, about any of those things, because music unites us. And that's lyrically where I was at. Mm. Right. So you got to love means you got to live, you got to learn, you got to love. It's accepting other people where they're at on their journey. Mm. And if you look at the lyrics, and I didn't write a lot of them, but I'm a better editor and conceptualizer for people who are a little bit more poetic than I. Mm-hmm. I tend to be more on the musical level than the poetic level, but the people know where I'm at in my life, and they know me, that I'm a super positive guy. And I wanted that to translate without being preachy, mm-hmm. without being corny. Mm. Right. So that's and that's hard.
Yeah.
You could really go down a rabbit hole that could be not funky and not, you know, not happening. So I made sure that it was the best of my ability in it. The thread is just all 100% authentically me, where I'm at over the last 2 years, and what I think this world needs. Mm, you know,
I love that. That's great. So do you feel that, because I was going to kind of bring that up too. I mean, obviously the past 2 years, whatever, 2.5 years, the world has just gone through so much, and with COVID and just with a lot of other things that have, you know, taken over the news headlines and whatnot. What's gotten you through this crazy time?
Oh, love.
Good love, answer.
Family, music.
Yeah.
Conversation, honest and raw, uncomfortable, wonderful conversation.
Mm.
Not hiding behind social media and being that guy who goes on there and starts, you know, talking shit. I am not there. I cannot deal with that.
Yeah.
It's all about positivity for me. How do we win? What do we learn? How can we move forward in a positive way and teach our children and grandchildren and our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers how to be better human beings? That's where I'm coming from. And that's hopefully that's the takeaway. And, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul went through it. We were the epicenter for this whole thing. And it was, we were on the front lines.
Yes.
You know, and I believe, I mean, it's absolutely awful. And it's been very difficult to rebound for our cities.
Yeah.
And rightly so. I mean, people really showed evil. It reared its ugly head. Let's put it that way. I don't want to even say people, certain people, but evil can come get you now. And then, you know, I'm a spiritual guy too. So I truly believe that prayer and with action is the answer. You know, you got to show up. You can pray and pray and pray, but if you don't do something, I believe that they go hand in hand, and you know, God puts you where you're supposed to be, and you know, I trust that. I don't even question that anymore.
I love that. So, looking back on your career, what would you tell your 17-year-old self if you could go back and tell, like, your 17-year-old self something? It could be anything, advice or, you know, support or whatever. Like, what would you say?
I laugh because I ask the same question sometimes on my podcast. That's not fair.
Really? I bet.
Yeah. It's, I would probably tell myself, hang on, buddy. You're in for a big, gigantic wave that you're going to have to ride. And hold on.
Yes.
I probably also tell myself, don't lose yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
Stay true to yourself.
Yeah.
Quiet the noise. Mm. Be you. Don't try to be anybody but you. You know, don't listen to these managers and everybody telling you who you're supposed to be, because how the hell do they know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's great advice. And you know what? I was wondering, I was like, I wonder if he's going to say, it's going to be a heck of a ride, so hold on. And it was something a little bit close man. To that. So.
Totally. Yeah. And it's been a beautiful, topsy-turvy,
yeah,
ups and downs, highs and lows. But I would say for as a whole,
mm-hmm,
it has been such a blessing to do what I do. And I've had some incredible adventures and had to share some of it with my family. I toured for 5 years with the Steve Miller Band with my two brothers. I've toured with Donny Osmond with my nephew for 10 years. I toured with David Sandberg with my brother for years. And we continue to make music together as a family. Every Christmas, we do a Christmas concert. We've cut records together. My brothers and nephew and I cut a record called Ricky Peterson and the Peterson Brothers. That's been doing really well. We're playing in New York in July at the Roxy. That's where we're playing two nights.
Yeah.
It's going to be really fun. So it's just been, a great ride. I have no intentions of slowing down, thus doing, you know, the 1 minute piece of music every week keeps me fresh, keeps my tentacles out there, reaching out to new folks too.
I love that though, because one thing that I always try to tell people too, when, you know, I'm talking to them is, you know, I just feel like I'm a work in progress, man, just going with the flow, you know, and just enjoying the ride that I've been given as well, my journey. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just been so wonderful to have you on my podcast. And once more, I want to thank you. And I'm very excited about your new album and checking it out when it comes out next month, Break on Free.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. So once more, ladies and gentlemen, the incomparable St. Paul Peterson, thank you for joining us here on my podcast, Adventures of a Blonde Geisha. My name is Lisa Wilkerson. Signing off, everyone, live for lots of love, lots of peace. Stay sane and respect one another. Signing out. くるりくるりくるりくるりくるり